BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right up to all the top fights in MMA and UFC and boxing. We got every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino. Get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head on to the website today and get in on the action. And check this out, guys. We've got an awesome promo code, BELIEVE, capital B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Wow, that's a lot of money. Bet online. The game starts here.
Man of the year. Man of the year. Man of the year. Welcome to the number one friendship podcast in the country. I'm Aaron Cairo.
I'm Matt Ritter.
Remember, go to manoftheyearpodcast.com, buy our merch, watch every single episode for free on YouTube, and see our smiling faces. Matt, happy July 4th, buddy.
I love July 4th. Ah, it's the best.
It's probably one of the best friendship holidays because it's over the summer, everyone has off, and everyone's in a good mood.
And you eat so many hot dogs.
What do you, this is an interesting year because July 4th comes on a Thursday. Now. So, like, what's the celebration situation this year?
You mean which weekend is it, or is it the day of?
Well, you can't really, I don't believe you can ever celebrate anything after. Like, didn't you once go to a Halloween party on November 1st or something?
Yeah, yeah, it does feel like we missed the window. You know, you missed your window already.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, this is coming out on Tuesday, so I think people might have already celebrated this past weekend, which would be like, you know, still in June.
Right. June 30.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think July 4th, you got to celebrate on July 4th.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's when the fireworks will be. I'm sure a lot of people have off on Friday.
Yeah. Or July 3rd. If you have off the next day, you can do 3rd.
Yes. Anything before works.
Do you know that I told people I got married on July 4th, but it was really July 3rd?
Just because it's like more interesting?
Yeah. Just for the ease of, you know, everything.
What's interesting is that I bet you over the course of your life, you will just start to believe it.
Actually, when I just said that to you, I was like, wait, was it the 4th or the 5th? Right. Like, I literally don't remember anymore.
The
wedding planner being like, you don't want to get married here on July 4th. It's too crazy. And we're like, no, we'll take July 4th. And if you recall at our wedding, there was a nightclub on the beach.
Oh my God. I don't even remember that. You know, I thought we would talk a little bit about what we call America and how friendship differs between America and other countries around the world, and how maybe we could, I don't know, crib some friendship tips and tricks from other countries or what they should crib from us. Hold on.
Are you saying we're not the best at friendship?
I know. Did you look at the rankings?
We're not the best.
We're not the best. Well, of course, we're America's exceptionalism is a fraud.
No, that's not true. Just with friendship, it's a fraud.
Okay. So what are we ranked? Do we know what we're ranked?
There's like quality. There was a friendship quality index thing. We're not at the top. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we should aspire to be the top. So a couple of interesting things I discovered about friendship in other countries. In Japan, there's a lot of company-centric friendships.
Yeah.
So a lot of socializing with your colleagues. Of course, we do that here, but not, I think, as much as they do there. In Nigeria, friendships are a lot more interdependent. Like, you're really relying on them for support and sometimes even financial need. Like the lines are blurred a little bit. In the Scandinavian countries, Sweden, et cetera, a lot more homogenous friendships. I mean, because those countries are more homogenous. Yeah. There's also a few other ones, which I just feel like
I want to hear them. Were they weird?
No, they're just like, I can't, you know, you got to take ChatGPT with a grain of salt. Okay. So let's see if you think these make sense. In Mexico, friendships have a more formal hierarchy with friends using titles like señor or señora out of respect.
Hold on. So you're saying if somebody doesn't call you señor, you're just like a mere acquaintance?
No, it's just that, like, you, I would call you senor if you're my buddy in Mexico. There's no way. That's,
I like it.
There's no way that's true.
So, like, we use it pejoratively, like, hey, boss, that's usually not your friend.
No, but I'm saying there's no way they're called their friend senora.
No, I like it. I like it.
On a side note, I've been wanting to bring up amigo. I think amigo is a great word.
It's getting overused. Have you not noticed? Is it? Late on amigo, dude. People have been really rocking amigo. 2021 was peak amigo use.
No, nobody says amigo.
Peak amigo use was 2021, 2020 even.
No, I'm sure we could do some research about that.
Yeah, when did amigo peak?
When did amigo peak?
It's me of being late on trends. He's just getting into amigo.
You have never called anybody amigo.
No, but I had so many work colleagues used to call me amigo.
Yeah, but you work colleagues. That's 15 years ago.
No, other gigs.
Oh, okay.
Like amigo this, amigo that, and then like other people started picking it up, and I'm like, wow, this amigo thing's really catching on. And then like by 2022, a few of them stopped using it because they realized like they're overusing amigo.
Yeah, well, I'm bringing it back.
Let's bring back Brosif if we're gonna bring back anything.
Brosif?
Yeah,
but that's only for men though.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it could be like Brogelina Jolie, Angelina Brogelie or whatever.
Okay.
This says also that in France, America's more expressive. French friends might be more reserved, but that doesn't make any sense. The French people, they're always kissing and hugging, right?
Yeah, they seem to be kissing and hugging.
So those are the main, differences. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think, did it say anything about America in there?
I didn't specifically ask, like, well, we know what America is.
Well, that's it. I think what's interesting is how do we define that in contrast with how Americans friendship?
Well, on the work front, like having a work friend, it depends. First of all, we don't even see our colleagues anymore, which I guess is true every other country, but like, it's not expected for you to be buddies, with your work friends. Financial interdependence, that's not that common in America.
Very uncommon. You know, which one I think Jesse's just grew up in a sort of different friending family blend than I did. I feel we're very, we keep those in separate buckets, friend and family. Uh-huh. I would like to see us blur those a little more. I find it really nice that her friends and family are kind of like indistinguishable.
Interesting. Although it's possible that happens in other countries as well.
No, I'm saying I don't think it happens enough here is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think one thing we could do better that I think other countries do better.
Well, I mean, let's talk about what we're not doing well, which is that people are freaking very lonely in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people, because, you know, you talked about this in the past, Matt, because America is founded upon this notion of rugged individualism.
Yeah.
And that's extended to our present day when it really should be like rugged interdependence, you know, like going it alone.
Rugged interdependence. I like it, Cairo.
Yeah. Woo. I'm writing it down.
Write that one. That's going somewhere. Rugged interdependence. I really like what you're saying there because we all know, right? You and I have agreed. It's bullshit. The isolationism, the individualism, it's healthy to a degree, but it's not healthy to be its own full encompassing view of how you should be.
Right. Right. There's nothing, you don't win any prizes for going it alone.
Right.
You're not happier.
You just lose a lot. You lose a lot. It's what I was going to say about that too. It's just, you know, we're missing the obvious of like, God damn it. Wouldn't it be nice to have a 3-hour siesta where you just drink with your friends in the middle of the day?
Well, do you remember I had a stand-up bit and I still think it's actually a great idea. And I want to do it with you, Matt. I remember I had a stand-up bit, which is that you go to Europe, right? And you find a company, a small business that you like their business model, they're doing well. And all you do is copy it completely, but you work a full 8 hours.
Okay.
That's it. No siesta. I'll take every business out of Madrid. Right? No siesta. I'm saying we just work a normal week and we drive everybody out of business.
I think they would pitchfork you out of there.
I mean, that may be true, but you know, I don't know. Have you ever been in a place without like a real siesta or a late night culture?
Yes. It's called
Spain.
No, but specifically North Spain in the Basque region. If you go to San Sebastian. So okay. San Sebastian is the most awesome, friendliest community city I've ever seen. So at 11 o'clock, everybody's going out to dinner and every bar is open and they have these little pinchos. You know, they're like these little kind of mini sandwiches and they're just out on the bar and you just pick them off and you meet up with your friends and you meet up with your family. And they do that till like 3 a.m. every night. And there's kids who are like 5 years old and there's grandparents who are 100 years old. We ran into a friend on our honeymoon who was there and we met them at midnight because his grandmother was from there. And then he's like, I got to leave. Grandma's cooking dinner at 1 a.m.
So it's funny. I'm actually looking it up and that Spain actually has terrible work hours because they take a siesta and they still work a full day. So I was actually wrong.
They end up not getting home till midnight because of that?
Something like that. Yeah. They work longer hours in Britain, France, and Germany. You know, as someone, I'm talking about you now, as someone who gets a late afternoon sort of energy drop, a siesta might be good for you. If I take a nap in the middle of the day, my day's done.
So I have napped. Occasionally I'll do one. It's hard. If I can jam one in at 2 o'clock, I'll jam one in for 20 minutes.
Well, 20 minutes. I know they call that a power nap, but like that does nothing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I did one yesterday for about 40. It was delicious.
40 feels good. 40 feels good.
I put on a podcast and I fell asleep within 1 minute. I put on these sports podcasts now and I don't even actually listen to them.
It's just I find that
they're the biggest drones. I think they're the most underrated drones.
When you go to, I don't know if I know this, when you go to sleep normally at any night, do you just go to sleep or do you have a podcast or?
Yeah, I usually read a couple pages of a book. Then I listen to a sports pod and within 2 minutes, the droning noises of these uninteresting people, I'm out. There's nothing less interesting than sports droning. It's the best sleep remedy ever. I know there are other people who use like sounds of the ocean, literally. Drones talking about random basketball games, I'm out.
Do you have like this sort of sitcom thing where you're on your side of the bed reading with a nightlight and then Jess is on the other side of the bed reading with a nightlight?
Well, yes, except the second that I fall asleep within 2 seconds. If I say I'm going to bed, I need to go to bed right now. So we've gotten into this thing where like if you want to stay up more than 5 minutes, you have to go sleep in the other room.
Well, but if you fall asleep so well, why can't you just stay up reading?
Because it just annoys me.
But you're asleep.
I know, but I don't like it. I'm not in a deep sleep until the lights are out. I'm not in my REM. I can't get into my REM.
What a pleasure. What an absolute pleasure.
That's why you have to have another bedroom. I read an article recently about these couples that are actually like happily married, but totally sleep in the separate rooms full time. I sent it to Jess immediately.
Well, come on. I actually think that is a great idea. And I've heard that before, but like, I feel like you got to go like halvesies.
I don't know. I mean, in the olden days, didn't they always have separate bedrooms?
I think they had separate beds in the same bedroom.
Is that what it was? Or was it separate bedrooms?
I mean, whenever you see like a show in the 50s or that,
in the same room. Two beds.
Yeah.
My grandparents had separate bedrooms. I just remember them having separate bedrooms. There was a room in between them. They weren't even next to each other. It was like the White House, you know, like the thing.
You know what I think? I think the key is separate bathrooms.
Well, we have Jack and Jill sinks. That's pretty much what you need. It's really that.
You don't need a separate toilet.
You just need the Jack and Jill sinks.
No, because I believe that it's really your, when you're using the toilet, that's the, that's when you really need your like space.
Well, we're on different clocks. I'm up for 2 hours before, so we're good.
Right. Okay. Okay. Great. so, American friendship. So yeah. we want to practice rugged interdependence. I don't think we want to get more financially intertwined with our friends like they do in Nigeria.
Okay.
We do believe that work friends are an important part of your life and of, you know, we've talked with Smiley as well. Yeah.
I think we were doing really well with work friends pre-pandemic.
Yes.
Like relative to the world. I think American work friends were like core.
Yeah.
That's been one of the biggest blows to friendship.
Right. We keep getting sent those articles that people miss their work friends.
Yeah. Like I really think, you know, Americans were pretty, we weren't as good as the British who went out to the pubs every single day, right? When the work day ended.
Right. Ugh, love that. Love that. Let's go back this. I want to take a listener question. All right. We'll be right back. All right, guys, this is asking for a friend. If you have a friendship question or ethical dilemma, send it to us on Instagram and we will answer on the show. It's at Man of the Year Podcast. All right. This is a good one. I can't believe we've not talked about this yet. Dear Matt and Cairo, love the pod. And now I'm in need of asking for a friend. I love hosting barbecues in my backyard, but some of my wife's friends have what I deem to be insane dietary restrictions. We're not just talking gluten-free or vegetarian. We're talking things I've never even heard of, like can't have pineapple or can't touch a barbecue sauce. And I just feel like at some point, how much do you bend over backward to make a big party acceptable to a select few? Am I the a-hole? Like that.
I mean, did this come directly from LA? This had to have been local.
I think this is the whole world now.
Yeah. Wow. You know, look, we throw a lot of events here. We throw a lot of parties ranging from dinner parties with, you know, eight people to bigger parties. I think the proper compromise is I made you one vegan burger. Now get the fuck out of my face.
First of all, I love that Matt gave me a stern talking to 3 months ago about not cursing.
Let's bleep that out.
We don't know how to bleep. You guys have been cursing for like a sailor for 3 months now. Anyway, I think we should probably distinguish, Matt, between there's like preferences. There's diet, vegan and vegetarian. There's allergies. I'm allergic to shellfish. Then there's like, you know, preferences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Question number one, whose responsibility is it to communicate these?
You're saying, should the host ask if anyone has any dietary restrictions?
Or should you, in the tea, take the charge?
So I think only if you're willing to inconvenience yourself should you say, hey, does anybody have any dietary things?
Because you're opening up a can of worms.
Right. I'm saying if you're just planning on going ahead with burgers and dogs, then you just tell everybody I'm doing burgers and dogs. And then if somebody wants to let you know, like, hey, I'm vegan, whatever. Generally, like, if I'm throwing a barbecue, I'm trying to do burgers and dogs, keep it simple, like cash. But I will say to Jesse, well, we already kind of know our friends. So like, we kind of know, oh, this person's vegan, or like Kojo's vegan. Let's get him a Beyond Burger.
So let's say you're having a barbecue. You run into a neighborhood couple 2 days before. Hey, you guys should come by. Do you say, hey, do you have any, I don't know you that well, do you have any restrictions, or is it up to them?
We generally do, but I just, the question is, are you obligated to? I don't think you're obligated to. It's nice. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, you're going out of the way, but the issue is like, how much extra work is that going to be to do it? Cause it's easy to throw a Beyond Burger on a grill without changing, but you have to buy it. Right. But I'm saying that's easier than, you know, somebody saying, I need you to like change up the way that you're cooking this or whatever.
Right. I mean, if if someone, I mean, you know, if someone's a vegan or vegetarian, I mean, it's also a question of, do you think there's a, what's the word? Like a spectrum of like dietary
acceptability? Situation?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, can you come in saying I don't eat gluten and I don't eat this, that, and the other thing? I mean, we had a, so we had a dinner party where somebody said they didn't eat gluten. So we made one extra, we used a separate pasta. We did an extra step. It was like a whole extra, basically we cooked them their own meal.
How did you know they had gluten?
They told us.
And was it, is it celiac disease or they just don't like it?
You never know.
I think that's, I think you get canceled for that. Sorry, you said you asked them or you knew?
No, they told us. But we generally ask now just because that's the world we live in.
Yeah, because I think I wonder if they, if it's proper to say, hey, we can bring gluten-free pasta. Even in all, even though you would probably say, don't worry about it, I'll get it. But like,
I mean, you're asking me what's the proper thing or like, you know, because what I do is always just go the extra mile for people when we host. We're just like, all right, we'll do the whole separate thing for this person. You know, I was literally willing to do, you know, we were making chicken parm and we heard this person was vegan. I was like, all right, I'll do an eggplant parm with fake cheese, you know?
Right. But anyway, just to specify, you said you heard they're vegan, like you knew they were vegan. They told you you were vegan. Or you asked.
Well, it's actually funny. I was told they were vegan by the other couple that I knew better, and it turns out it wasn't even true.
That's hilarious. Interesting. No good deed.
Raising their kids vegan or something? I don't know. It was all confusing.
No, got it. I mean, it's interesting because I'm allergic to shellfish. I mean, that's not usually the type of thing where they only have shellfish. So I don't, you know, bother saying anything. Maybe there was one time ever where someone did a crab, what's it called? Crab fest or crab thing?
Crab lobster.
Yeah. Boil? Something like that. This was like 15 years ago.
Lobfish boil?
Where there was literally nothing that I could eat.
Right.
And in that case, you know me, I don't expect anything. I'm like, if I would have known, or if I, maybe I did know, I just would have bring my, I'll just bring my own thing. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a crawfish boil,
right,
somebody doesn't eat seafood, it's tough. You know, that's a toughie. You have the corn on the side. You got to eat a lot of sides. You got to fill up on sides.
I have to give a shout out to my mom who's got like 17 dietary. She can't have pineapple. She can't have cream. She can't have spiciness. She can't like. And when we go out to eat, and the waiter asks like, "Oh, do you have any diet?" And everyone like rolls their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, it depends. Like, are you going to stick pineapple in the, like, I think we'll see it coming, you know?
Right.
But you can also.
Are they like, because yours is allergy. It's different.
Yes. This is, it's somewhere in between where if she kind of want to
talk about weird it. Things. Like my grandma couldn't eat anything with the color green.
it's in between an allergy and a. Something like if she has pineapple, she has a negative physical reaction, but it's not like she's going to die.
Look, our podcast is about fostering friendships and deepening friendships and enhancing friendships. It's not about being, you know, being the listener said, am I the asshole if I don't want to go out of the way? Yeah, you are. I mean, if you're having a party and you want to, you know, be a good host and, you know, yeah, it's okay. So you have to make an extra dish. Fine. You know, I mean, yes. If that bothers you so much, maybe that person isn't like the right friend for you. If the fact that they choose to live a vegan lifestyle bothers you so much that you don't want to like have a little something for them that they could eat, you know, cause look, I grew up kosher. My mom's kosher. I'm sure that like annoys people. But, like if you don't want to have something kosher available to her, then you don't want to be friends with my mom.
You grew up kosher?
Yeah. How did you not know that?
So,
I don't know. So
in the house. So not in the house, you weren't kosher.
No, we were supposed to be.
But you weren't.
Yeah, I mean, I started sneaking out and once I tasted McDonald's.
And then does that mean Friday, different plates?
You had different plates, different silverware, no milk and meat, you know, the usual, the basic stuff.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. So, you know, I mean, I look, what this person's really asking is like, do I have license to, you know, kind of dismiss this person's lifestyle?
No, I mean, maybe. I think that, no, I'm joking. This is, by the way, it's his wife's friend, so it's not even his friend.
But I'm saying, I think between a dinner party and like a crawfish boil, you know?
Right.
Like, you're having a dinner party, you should ask if somebody's got any dietary restrictions and see if you can accommodate it. If it's too ridiculous for you to accommodate it, just be like, look, we're doing this surf and turf. Is there, ask them for an idea.
Right.
You know, is it something you'd like me to do? Because I don't really know how to handle this.
I think if it's a barbecue, I actually go a step further. I think it's your obligation to ask. 20-person barbecue, you send the email invitation. Please let me know if you have any dietary restrictions. People come back. You take it on a case-by-case basis. If it's pretty reasonable, vegetarian, you get gluten-free buns. If it's just like, listen, I'm allergic to chili sauce, and the chili sauce is in your special thing that you make your thing, and it's, I think.
Yeah, but I just had a big birthday party. We didn't ask anybody. It just wouldn't have been feasible. We ordered pizzas.
I'm just trying to think if there's anybody at your birthday party who would not have been able to eat.
Maybe, but that was just not feasible because there's too much going on.
Right. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, I'm just trying to think if you didn't eat, is pizza, I guess if you were a vegan, you couldn't eat pizza.
That's what I'm saying. So like in that situation, not even consider.
So the bigger the party, the less you ask because it's impossible.
Yeah. I think so.
Right. Right. And okay, you're somebody.
Go ahead.
You're somebody going to a neighborhood birthday party with 50 people. You, it's on your responsibility. Like,
right. That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, like, this isn't really a deep quality friendship moment, right? Like, you're popping in, it's whatever. There's a lot of people there. But if you're having an intimate party, like, you know, these are people you're trying to spend a night with.
Yeah.
Like eating bread with them. You want them to enjoy it and feel comfortable and be at ease. By the way, side note, the flip side, the next day I went to a birthday party and I get real hangry. Like I'm very even keel, but if my blood sugar is spiking, they had Jones on third. I was super excited to ask Jesse beforehand. I'm like, are they going to have food? Yeah, Jones on third, blah, blah. We get there late, table's wiped.
Oh, no.
Empty, empty. She's just like, oh, do you want to go get some food? I'm like, no.
Oh, man. And I also think it can be fun. So I have like a, you know, I have a Friendsgiving every year at my place with like Shane, Katrina, Dan, Key. And Katrina is vegetarian, maybe vegan. I have to look it up. I have it written down. And like, it's fun. I get a plate that's half and half. I put a little sign out. Like it's, you know, it's nice. And they're appreciative.
You just really hit the nail on the head. I think that's the best answer to this question. Flip it. Do you see how appreciative people are when you actually show the slightest, most minuscule concern for them? If you go, hey, you know, I know you're vegan, so I went out of my way to do this little thing. No big deal. They're going home. Wow, that person really cares about me. And now, like, this is what our podcast is all about.
It's pretty low effort, high reward.
That's what our whole pod, I feel like if you were going to sum up what we're giving you is we're giving you these hacks, which we're saying you don't even have to do that much work. And suddenly you're going to appreciate your friendship so much more and they're going to appreciate you so much more. So what are you asking? You want to just go, this listener, like, do you want to go about living the way you've been living? If it's working for you, great. But if you want to enhance your friendships, okay, I'm sorry we're putting you out by telling you bring one Beyond Burger to the grill.
By the way, have you ever like had a Beyond Burger, had some vegan stuff?
I like Beyond Burgers actually, but I've heard they're not even healthier than regular burgers.
No, they're not healthier. And, you know, no, everything we're doing, you know, we started this podcast, you know, talking about America, everything we're doing is wrong. Electric cars, fake meat. None of it is actually helpful to the environment or the world.
You're going to that deep Liver King conspiracy hall.
What's that?
You don't know the Liver King?
No.
Guy's like so jacked and he just eats raw meat. like raw, like cow hearts, and livers and shit. You've never seen this guy on Instagram, the Liver King. So look him up. He spent 2 years like blowing up on Instagram, just eating raw meat, like blood dripping down his naked body. And then it turns out he was jacked up on steroids.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that.
He's like, yeah, God. Man, all you need is liver, cow testicles, bull hearts, and prednisol.
Oh my God. Johnson's lifestyle is based around 9 ancestral tenants until 2022, after a leak of private emails revealed he had spent $11,000 a month on anabolic steroids.
Right. So his 9 tenants is actually, the 10th tenant is doing a lot of heavy lifting, going to Mexico and getting anabolic steroids.
Oh my God. That is hilarious. Shout out to the Liver King. All right, guys, that was asking for a friend. If you have a friendship question, send it to us and we will answer it on the show. Matt, any other July 4th America stuff you want to talk about before we go?
Jello shots. I love them.
Oh, Matt, we probably talked about this 2 years ago on the pod. There used to be a July 4th party we went to every year. And remember, this was like episode 2. We talked about, you want to get the job? We were giving out the Jello shots.
Oh, that's the best. That's the most friend forward.
You want jobs. And actually, Matt, I didn't even tell you about this. Last weekend, which is why I don't know if you can tell, I have a sunburn. I went to this thing called Turkish Breakfast Club. I was invited to it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's basically, I guess it's some sort of Turkish tradition. And it's like you sit at little tables and it's very communal. It's like this invite only thing. And they have little stickers that have a little saying on it, like, you know, I don't know, cute little sayings, ready to mingle, come say hi, like whatever. And they were just in a bowl. And I was like, oh, let me be the one giving out the stickers. And I just took it. And then I met everybody.
That's genius. That's genius. I like
I like to take a little job. It's like that Seinfeld episode where everyone had a little job at the party. One guy's in charge of music, but take the job that, like, whenever I go to an alumni event or something, I like to stand at the check-in and give out the check people in.
And even when you're not working it, you just like give yourself the assignment.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Exactly.
Well, just give me one of those felt pens. I'll take it from here.
Yeah. I call it rugged interdependence.
I want to add this to the sort of last thoughts. I've always considered Mexico to be a very friendly country. And when I looked it up, the data backed up my feelings.
Oh yeah. I'm dying to go to Mexico City.
Yeah. They seem to do friendship really well.
All right, Matt, what did we learn today?
I think America has, you know, a lot to learn from. We can pick up things from other countries about how they do little different things, different tweaks on friendship. I think we need to reconnect with our work friends in some way, in some meaningful way. Like a bigger picture, we need to figure out a way to kind of recharge the work friendships of the U.S.
Yeah, I learned that July 4th is about independence, but it should be about interdependence. And we want everybody to have a very safe July 4th. Don't be setting off the people who set the fireworks off. By the way, the people who just set off fake fireworks or whatever, like in the streets the week leading up to it, what is that?
Testing them. Yeah.
What do you mean testing
them? They're testing them. They want to make sure the good ones work.
No, I think they're just doing it for fun in the street.
I think they're testing. I always thought that was like the fireworks test. Like
when you're
first, third, that's when you're doing a sound check.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
That's always been my theory.
No, these are just people in the street fucking around.
Let's ask our audience. What do you think the fireworks that go off between the first and third are? Are they a sound test? Or are they just people?
Oh, all right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Always remember, be good to yourself, be good to your friends. Hey, Matt, love you, buddy.